If you've got your Bible, would you open with me to the second letter of Peter, 2 Peter, chapter 1, and we'll start at the second half of verse 3. That's 2 Peter 1, verse 3. There's certain things that you read in the Word that, you know, I've said it hundreds of times, that I just don't get, I can't fathom how people can read their Bibles like 10 chapters a day. You know, you go to some churches and it's like, you know, well, our pastor tells us we've got to read 10 chapters a day. And when one single verse can blow your mind for 1,000 years, if you just take in what it's saying, take in the implications of what it's saying. Now, the numbering system of chapters and verses was put there for reference. It wasn't put there by the Spirit of God. I do believe that the Spirit of God influenced some of the putting together of verses, but others are quite obviously man-made because they help you to miss more than you see rather than seeing more than you've missed, if you see what I mean. And this, to me, is one of those things. It says, seeing that his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. And I want us to start reading that verse by those words, his own glory and excellence. We have been called, the Bible says, by his own glory and excellence. Now, you just think about the glory of God. It's been very few times that the glory of God appeared corporately to mankind. And when it did, everything was flattened. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit, on the day of Pentecost, the Spirit of God came in to the upper room like a rushing mighty wind. And, you know, it's obvious that no one could even stand up. Because when Peter addressed the crowd, the Bible says that Peter stood up. So he was obviously on the ground, probably with everyone else, like just, you know, speaking with other tongues and glorifying God. That was one time where God just in his glory just showed up and just released himself. Another time was the dedication of the temple, Solomon's temple in Jerusalem, where the Bible says that they gathered all the people together and the priests and the Levites were all in one accord. And I thank God for the Levite ministry in this house. My goodness, the worship team this morning, that's the best worship that I've encountered at the 9 o'clock service. Godfrey, if I were you, I would get your checkbook out and bribe them to become a staple at the 9 a.m. and put barriers around them. Just tell Roro that this is my 9 a.m. crew. And we are pushing forward in Jesus' mighty name, because that was really wonderful. And I know, you know, when you get a foretaste like that, that becomes the new standard. But the Bible says in the book of Samuel, when the priests and Levites stood to minister, and they were singing songs like, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good and his mercy is everlasting. And the Bible says they were sounding the trumpets and the horns and, you know, there was incense and smoke rising. The Bible says the glory of God came down and the priests couldn't stand to minister. Everyone was just either flat on their back or prostrate before God, etc., etc. And that was a sign of the release of the glory of God, right? His glory. And then you think about his excellence, by his own glory and excellence. Oh Lord, thou, O Lord, Psalm chapter 8, verse number 1. Oh Lord, thou, O Lord, how excellent your name is. How excellent your name in all the earth. Think about the excellence of God for a second. Think about the planets and the stars and the Milky Ways and the let there be light still resounding across the universe at 186,000 miles a second. Think about that. The speed of light going out and just expanding the universe and creating all kinds of life. And just, you know, the way that I heard Benny Hinn describe it once, I had the privilege of working with Pastor Benny for 7 years. It was an amazing time. And one of the things that he used to say was that, you know, the collaboration for the creation of the universe was by the Father, the Word, and the Spirit. But it was the Holy Spirit who was given the job of fulfilling the Word of the Father. Let us create all kinds of things. And then you think of how many species of fish there are, how many species of birds there are, how many, there's over a million species of bug. You know those little, yeah. 1 million species of bug. And they're still in certain parts of the earth, in the Amazon rainforest, and in places like the deserts and in the deep of the sea, they're still finding species that they have never come across. It's absolutely amazing. There was an oil rig, a deep sea oil rig. Where was it again? I think, I can't remember. It may have been off the coast of Colombia there, somewhere like that, where there's oil. And they had these CCTV dive maintenance cameras that just, they examine the structure of the oil rigs to make sure that there's no like excessive corrosion or anything like that. And these cameras, they go down, they're remote like submarine type things, and they go down like way deep, way, way, way deep. And they are checking the structure of the thing. And as the camera moves from the leg of the oil rig that it's checking the structure of, it just pans out. And the next thing, this fish, this almighty looking fish, just swims by, takes a look at the camera, and then just swims on. And it's like they still, even today, I think they don't know what species of fish that thing was. In the 21st century. Amazing. Stuff so deep in the Pacific that they still can't get to the bottom of the Pacific. Isn't that amazing? Oh Lord, thou, oh Lord, how excellent your name is. You see some of these birds, these birds with the I don't know even what you call it, the kind of feathers that go that way. And then there's another species of bird, the feathers go that way. And it's like nothing makes sense, but it's all absolutely beautiful and in order. And then you look at the human creation, never mind the creation of the planets. You know, one of the reasons that we have a magnetic, I only found this out the other day, I'm still discovering things about this planet that we're on. This planet, one of the reasons that we have a magnetic field around the planet that helps keep the atmosphere, you think about it, we're the only planet now in our solar system with an atmosphere. And one of the reasons is that our planet is, the core of our planet is made of iron. And iron has a magnetic field, molten iron. Isn't that amazing? So this pearl, you think about it, you pan out right now in your imagination from something as small as an atom, and then you just go as high as a satellite. And then you go as high as the moon, or then as high as the sun, and then you see this universe from a completely different perspective. Stuff that's still blows the minds of the best physicists in the world. The fact that, for instance, right, light travels at a constant 186,000 miles a second, right? Everyone knows that. Okay, now, if you, and they've, I don't even know how they've worked this out, right? If you are in a spaceship and you manage to accelerate to the speed of 186,000 miles per second, and then you turn the lights on in your spaceship. Let's suppose in your spaceship has got headlamps, and you turn those headlamps on, the speed of light of those headlamps is still 186,000 miles a second faster than what you're doing. Isn't that remarkable? That just like, how on earth? Oh Lord, thou, oh Lord, how excellent your name is. When I see the heavens, the works of your hands, what is man that you are mindful of him? Wow. Now, flip to the next verse, verse number 4, 2 Peter 1, verse 4. Remember, we have been given, according to that scripture that we read, the Bible says that God has enabled us. It says he has called us by his own glory and excellence, right? He has called us by his own glory and excellence. He has called us by his own glory and excellence. For by these, by what? By his own glory and excellence. Look at what it says. He has granted to us precious and magnificent promises, so that by them, by the promises, backed by his glory and excellence, we may become partakers of the divine nature. I mean, this stuff, we must have read it 100,000 times, but until you stop and you slow down and you hear the promise of God in the Word, you see the power pack of the Word that is there, that's available. This stuff is like, it's mind-blowing. That God somehow, by his own glory and excellence, has given us promises, and by those promises, which are backed. These promises aren't just like, you know, oh, well, I'm going to, you know, you think where God appeared to Abraham, I'm going to bless you and greatly multiply you. Like, we know thousands more. When Abraham took God at his word to say, yes, Lord, and amen, whatever you want to do, do it, right? He didn't know what we know now. We have the word. The Bible says we have the prophetic promises made more sure. We've got the testimony of Noah. We've got the testimony of Abraham. We've got the testimony of David. We've got the testimony of Jesus Christ. We've got the testimony of Paul the Apostle. We've got the testimony of the Holy Spirit living on the inside of us, right? And by this, so when I say about the promises of God, you see, Abraham only knew a couple of things about God. He knew that he could prosper you financially. He knew that he could lead him, like, you know, in the wilderness. And he knew that he could make him have a baby. I mean, that was it. How much more do we know? Like, the revelation, you can turn on TV and just, you know, just channel after channel after channel of revelation and stuff that can just like build your spirit. You know, they didn't have none of that out in the desert. God had to say to Abraham, look down, you know, this is your dust-born seed. This is the children that's going to come through Isaac. Look up, this is your heaven-born seed. This is the children, the seed that is going to come through Christ himself. So shall thy seed be. That's what God had given to Abraham. Us, we've got like, wow. I mean, think about it. Stop and think one second. How many Christian books have you read? How many books of revelation and how much unfurling and unpacking of the word have you heard? And like, we're not even yet scraping the surface of what God has. I mean, this is, you know, they talk about in the world of finance, they talk about things like pledges and bonds and loans and stuff like that, which are asset-backed. They are secured on an asset. So, for instance, if you take out a mortgage, then that mortgage is secured on the value of the house, right? That is an asset-backed loan that you have to pay. If you fail to pay, then they take the asset, right? Well, these great and precious promises are asset-backed. They are backed by the glory and excellence of our God. Wow. This is the kind of thing that by the grace of God, particularly on the podcast, that if you listen over and over and over again and you close your eyes and you ask the Holy Spirit, Lord, give me a glimpse. Give me a glimpse of what was being taught today. I want to know. I want a depth of revelation. I want to see. This is what I call 4D thinking. I don't know what else to call it. thinking in four dimensions. You know, the kingdom of heaven is in four dimensions, right? It's high, it's deep, it's wide, and it's far. Four dimensions of the realm of the spirit. Things that can put you into the next level of life and existence. This is what God is talking about here. It's remarkable. And how, you think about it right now, right? This is like less than half a verse of scripture. How could you do that? If you read in 10 chapters a day and suddenly, you know, you're at this thing and you're, oh yeah, he's given us by his own glory and excellence, his blood, make us partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the world, the corruption that's in the world by lust. What would you be missing? This is enough. If this was the only verse of scripture that you ever heard, that you ever really put to work. Do you know what I'm talking about putting the word to work on the inside of you? Because, you see, a lot of the times we have problems where God is too small for our problem, or God is too big for our problem. He's so big that he doesn't care. He's off running the universe, etc. Or he's so small that he can't do anything about it. And yet, he is God. And he says that by these great and precious and magnificent promises, that by these promises, which are backed by his own glory and excellence, we might become partakers of the divine nature. Wow. How many of you want to become partakers of that kind of nature? You know, the nature of God. The nature of God. You think about it. When God created Adam, the conversation in heaven between the Father and the Word. You see, Jesus was only called Jesus when he was born. His name before he was born was the Word. In the beginning was the Word. So before his natural appearance on earth, he already, what the Bible says, the Word always was. He was there with the Father when the universe was a twinkle in the Father's eye. And they have this conversation. So God created, the first thing he created is light. That's proven by physicists today to be the very first thing that was created, light. The greatest force in the universe. Now you think about it, right? All the money they spent on research. £6. They could have gone down, even some charity shop would give you a Bible free, and they could have saved their hundreds of millions of research. Isn't that amazing? Light be, and literally, if you read it in the Hebrew, it's like God said, light be, and light was. So light had no choice. Boom, 186,000 miles a second. Boom, 186,000 miles a second. Boom, 186,000 miles a second. Light just breaking out everywhere. And the universe still today is resounding by those very words of the Father himself. And the Father says to the Word, let us make man in our own image and our likeness. And so Jesus and the Holy Spirit get to work. The Bible says, and God created man from the dust of the earth and blew the breath of life into him. So the very breath of the one whose glory and excellence back these promises was the one who breathed into our father, Adam. Isn't that amazing? You see, your navel here, I would show you my belly button, but it's kind of like, you know, when you're youth, it's like your belly button's round. And then when the older you get, it kind of like, it turns into a sort of deflated bratwurst sausage. So I'll save you the pain of showing you my belly. But my belly button is a sign that I'm directly connected to my father, Adam. Adam's the only one in history without a belly button. Imagine. And that belly button is a tracer going all the way back to when God created Adam and breathed the breath of life. So the very breath of life that you carry in yourself originated with the Father. And your belly button is a sign that I'm telling you the truth. Isn't that wonderful? Praise Jesus. Praise God. So literally, that divine nature, right? It's like we are, in the realm of the Spirit, we are like empty vessels ready to receive that divine nature. What's God's nature like? Well, we can see it from the Word. God is a being who speaks, who sees, who plans, who strategizes, who says something and it comes to pass. And the proof of that, you see, one of the reasons why Abraham is called the father of faith is that the kind of faith that Abraham had and displayed was the kind of faith that God wants us to have. There's loads and loads and loads and loads of types of faith out there. There's the faith of Noah, which obeys, gets on with it, gets through the flood. There's the faith of David, which was a warlike faith, warring and fighting. It's an us and them kind of faith. As for me, my thing is with God. But as for them, break their teeth, O God. Do you see what I mean? That's not the kind of faith that God wants us to have. God wants us to develop the faith of Abraham. What was the faith of Abraham like? The faith that hears, the faith that sees, the faith that speaks, and the faith that acts. That's the kind of faith of Abraham, right? And we, because we've been made in the image and likeness of God, we're like empty vessels ready to receive that divine nature. And he says this. He says, by his own glory and excellence, he has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises in order that by them we might become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. Now, for this very reason, applying all diligence to your faith, supply moral excellence. That word moral excellence is really, they've really done us a disservice in translating it that way. It's a Greek word, arete, A-R-E-T-E, which literally means the substance that makes excellent. There's something about excellence that attracts God. Something about it. You know what? The devil knows it too. The devil tries these cats. You go into some of the best 7-star hotels in the world. Stuff that should be Christian stuff. And the devil has it. He knows excellence, wealth. He knows those kind of things. Because how did he see them? Ezekiel 28 talks about the nature of the devil. Every precious stone was your covering. You were decorated in mother of pearl and goodness knows what. And you lost it all. You failed, you abject failure, you. But he's still trying to get it back through the world. Which is why he creates these satanic reservoirs of wealth to stop that wealth getting into the hands of God's people and causing us to rise in glory and excellence. Can you imagine what kind of place this would be? I mean, we're doing a fairly good job, but imagine what kind of place this would be if money was no object. Mate, I mean, my helipad would be on the top. I have a runway out right there, you know, all sorts of stuff like that. I mean, it would be just, you know, absolutely magnificent. And we, in the body of Christ, we often scratching around like chickens, looking for like, you know, 10, 15 quid or whatever. And there's people literally sitting on billions. Absolutely billions and billions and billions. I command that wealth to come into the kingdom of God in Jesus' mighty name. Right, now he says, you see, that substance, that arete substance, that kind of thing that brings about excellence is... Like, you think about how we started in this, talking about God's glory and excellence, right? So now we're coming full circle. He says, apply these things to your life, diligence. So there's something about diligence that attracts the presence of God. Diligence, discipline. That nasty, horrible, disgusting word for a lot of Christians, discipline. What's the opposite of discipline? Burger King. Hey, mommy. Discipline. Discipline, that horrible thing that forces you to go to the gym when you don't want to go to the gym. That horrible thing that gets you up in the morning to pray when all you want to do is round three of your dream. Yes. Discipline, diligence, discipline. Why? He wants to create something out of you that can happen through you for a sick, lost, dying world. Amen. Diligence. Then he says, arete, the substance that makes excellent. Always listen. Always look for excellence in life. Even if you've reached the top of your career ladder, think to yourself, how can I do this better? It's one thing I think of continually. It's the one question in my mind all the time. How can I do this better? How can I do it better? How can I be a better person? How can I be kinder? How can I be, you know, there's certain attributes that attract the blessing of God. Certain things, the Bible talks about them in the book of Titus. He talks about adorning the gospel. You know what the word adorn means? It's like to decorate. So we are the gospel decorators. Things that make the gospel look good to other people who don't yet know the gospel. Hallelujah to Jesus. Wow. And, you know, every single thing here, look at this list. It starts in verse 5. He says, diligence, moral excellence, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love. And then in verse 8, he says this. He says, for if these qualities are yours and increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, these things, applying these eight characteristics in your life, can pull you closer to the Lord. Isn't that wonderful? I mean, you can literally be inexorably drawn into the presence of God further and further by applying these eight characteristics in our lives. What an amazing God we serve. And now you think about it, that's from 1.5 verses of Scripture. Praise the living God. What kind of God is this that we serve? I really believe, you know, that even if we get to the end of our lives, if we lived 140, 150 years, we still wouldn't be starting to scratch the surface of this God. Look at Paul the Apostle, everything that he went through, all the revelations, time and time again. He was taken up to heaven, the Bible says, into the third heaven, where he said things, he heard things so amazing, so awesome, he couldn't even utter them on earth. The natural realm wouldn't be able to take his rendition of what he saw in heaven. And then in the book of Philippians, he says, I pray that I may know him. Wow. Turn to your neighbor and ask them, how much more is there to know? Wow. This God we serve. Praise his holy name. Would you stand to your feet? We're going to thank him for his word. I pray that I've put a new desire, a new hunger on the inside of you to just seek out this Father. Seek out the word. Seek out the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Heavenly Father. God, we bless your word today and we thank you so much for the expanse of the Spirit that you have given us. We thank you for the expanse of the divine nature on the inside of us, Lord God, transforming us from glory to glory, from strength to strength, from faith to faith, and from life to life. Thank you, wonderful Spirit of the living God, for what you're doing on the inside of us. Thank you, majestic Jesus, for these glimpses of who you are. Lord, we pray that we will be great, great witnesses to your glory and your excellence. We pray that your banner will be raised, and that your glory will be seen in us, through us, and on us, Father. That we would shine like lights in a dark place. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen.